Cajun Cannon preseason play never seems to be pretty, but it feels a lot better when you get the W. Saints. 16-14 winners over the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, your initial thoughts coming off of a victory in preseason game number one.
Well, I can tell you, no matter who you played, you're in an NFL game, it's a preseason, and I'm just like you to say you're the Cardinals and how they feel. No, they lost. And you might say, well, it doesn't count. No, it's just how, I don't know, you joke with one another, you come to the meeting rooms, and, you know, you can break down. It's all about winning and losing, even though the game doesn't count. I'm telling you how you feel about yourself in that locker room. And, you know, we won the game. It was, you know, is there any such thing as an ugly win when the games count? Hell no. I always tell you this. Remember I was joking, said, I wouldn't care. You know, you want to be highly entertained. And if it'd be a shootout and we win 40-something to 40-something, remember with Drew Brees, and boy, you're just glad that, you know, we won the game. But then if you score 40-something points and you lose 40-something, how in the hell we lost that game? You scored 40 points. But if you win, you forget about all the defense when couldn't really stop no one. So that's why even if you have a game 3-2, it might say, oh, how entertaining is that? It's entertaining if you won because they all count the same. You know, you're trying to get the double-digit wins to get to the postseason. So this is kind of ugly, but this is what you expect in preseason. You know, you look at the over and unders. We were talking about that. I think the over and under was like, Charlie, what, 37.5? So I thought it would be like a 20-17 game. We were talking about that. Could go either way. Well, it was 16-14. So that didn't really surprise me. But I'm telling you, deep down, now individually you're being evaluated and how you perform. But the bottom line as a team, and the whole concept, like when they fly in, a short flight from Phoenix back to Irvine, California, to continue training camp with the 49ers coming to town, it just feels better when you win. You have different guys contributing. We were talking about the guys that really contributed. You know who's hopefully he can build upon this and have a lot of confidence going forward is A.T. Perry. You only can catch how many balls are thrown your way. He had 4 targets, 4 catches, 85 yards. He had that long gain right before half so we can get points, 58 yards from Hayner. Averaged 21.5 yards. I'm telling you, when you're averaging like 18.5 yards, then you're the best of the best in the whole NFL. To me, that's a high average per reception if you're 14.5 or more. So he ended up being at 21.5, like I said. I thought overall, and not just because he's dating my niece, I thought Clayton Tune was the most accurate quarterback out of there. Look how he was spinning it with the Cardinals. Now, he had a quarterback rating of 96.5. Jake Hayner had a quarterback rating of 94. Spencer Rattler, he made plays with his feet. You know, he led the team, drove them down, but his quarterback rating was like 63.5. He was right at 50%, but you could see him getting better, OTAs. You could see in minicamp. And even in training camp. No, that's still wide open. To me, nothing has been settled between Spencer Rattler and Jake Hayner as far as who's going to back up Derek Carr when it comes to the regular season. Because before you know it, the regular season's going to be here, and you don't want any quarterback to get hurt. I mean, what, 60-some quarterbacks, Charlie, you or Steve might have said this, 60-some quarterbacks took a snap last year that wasn't a starting quarterback.
Yeah, it was Charlie, 66.
Yeah, so the backup guy, one snap, and you might be in there. Look what happened. You remember the Jets had all their eggs in one basket. Look what happened with Aaron Rodgers. What, it was the 4th play? So, no, that's important, whether it's Jake Hayner, Spencer Rattler. Now, some fans were a little discouraged at the beginning with Derek Carr, and they kind of look, oh, looks like the same offense as Pete Carmichael. It doesn't look any different. They're not game planning, folks, who that nation. Clint Kubiak, you know, they're not game planning what they're actually going to do to kick off the season. Let's see, against Carolina or the Cowgirls. But Derek Carr didn't go to bed last night thinking he'd have this kind of outing like he did. 2 of 6 for 12 yards. He just didn't vision that. Like last year when he came in the Saints uniform, he was 6 of 8 for 70 yards and a touchdown. That's what you dream about. You hopefully dream about that type of game you have. So, like, if Derek Carr, Dennis Allen said, it's a new offense we're learning. So I expect Derek Carr, like he played at the beginning against the Cardinals, he's going to do that against the 49ers. He might even do it against the Titans, depending on how they're gelling. If they haven't sustained drives, and like I said, they're not really game planning. You know, we don't do good right now. This is not a good sign. We almost have to trick people. And when you can trick people as long as the play works. And what I mean by tricking people is utilizing the play action or deception.
Right.
As far as us just dropping back and my man against your man, the Saints aren't that good. So we're going to have to out-coach him, out-scheme him, all that kind of stuff. I truly think, I'm being honest now, to because there's not much difference, but to be, and wouldn't this be monumental in how a fan would think? And it's not that many games. If you 10-7 or 7-10, and there's no way we could be 10-7 if we don't really utilize, run the ball better and use deception, play action. That's all fair game. If we would just draw back and say, man, we could do what we want. No, we'd win seven games at the most. So, and the reason why I bring that up, and hopefully this is not the case, I told you this when you were starting the locker room show. I don't know. It looked like last year to me. And what do you mean by that, Bobby? Average per carry. It was almost identical.
Right, still issues.
Didn't I tell you
game.
We have to flip that?
For sure.
Okay, what we did, we averaged 3.5 yards a run, and they averaged 4.5, or to be more specific, 4.7. So I said, no, we got to flip that. We got to only give up 3.5 yards a run. And we got to average 4.5 yards a run. Oh, well, Bobby, it's not just the running backs. Well, you can say that almost wherever the Saints are playing because the quarterback always gains yardage. Not disciplined in your rush lanes. You look in the first half when Desmond Ridder had like the 22-yard run.
Right.
When Brian Brazee and Peyton Turner, they're veterans. Come on, y'all got to be talking to know who's coming hard. Not everybody's going to sack the quarterback. Or you want to meet at the quarterback, but you got to be discipline in your pass rush lanes, or are you going to give up a 22-yard run? And, for instance, Desmond Ridder ended up averaging 7.8, almost 8 yards a carry. But their running back, like Jordan Mims, okay, he averaged 3.8. He had 10 attempts. They had Carter. Their running back, 7 attempts, 6-yard average. So it wasn't just the quarterback. So
we need Taysom running the ball.
No, thank God we have Taysom. I'll tell you, we're going to run Taysom in the ground. We ain't saving him for nothing. We need Taysom.
I don't think his wife wants to hear that.
We all in on Taysom this year getting touches. Definitely double the touches going forward was going to happen. Now, looking at you coming out top 16-14, I thought it'd be that type of game. I said like 2017 going in either direction. But third down, we weren't executing on third down. Well, who was at the beginning? I mean, when you look in the first quarter, I said if the light was still outside, you might as well go cut your grass. I don't know. The Saints had 2 first downs. The Cardinals had 0. But when all said and done, I'm not worried because we're going to be good at this. We weren't good tonight. That we were only 5 of 15, 33%. And the Cardinals were 6 of 14, 43%.
But that all happened late for them.
Yeah. Now, again, flip that. You know, offense would be in the mid-40s to high-40s, and then on low-30s as far as your opponent and what they're converting. What was unusual about this game is that, I don't know, it didn't seem like there was like, well he dropped that interception or... Oh, we were lucky there. Like, Derek Carr's first ball got batted in the air. I'm like, oh, my God.
First pass that he had.
Don't tell me it's going to be an interception and stuff. But there were no 0 turnovers. I think Robinson fumbled one time and it went out of bounds, but no.
Right,
it
wasn't lost. We still retained the ball.
There were 0 turnovers, and usually in a preseason game you'll see turnovers. So a good, clean game. This was not good, but it was not good at the end of the game, but it was not good in the first half where we had 9 penalties. 9 penalties, you always tell you this, Steve, I'm going to say it over and over again. 9 penalties or more are 100 yards or more. And that was only 9 for 63 yards, but 9, that's like giving up a touchdown.
Right.
And let's
believe
see,
me, that sticks with me, too. I always hear that in my head from you.
Yes, that coaches, I've been in those meetings. How are they going to preach? Now, they weren't much, but they had 7 for 84, but it's more than that 9 total number and that 100 yards total in penalties. So that's not good. So you look at Nacua looked like was the difference maker at the end, a big target. Spencer Rattler was trusting him to get closer in field goal range. Overall, like Kamara, I mean, I don't know. I think we don't want Kamara to be beat up. We don't want Derek Carr to beat up. Okay, are they going to block for Kamara or what? He didn't forget how to run. He had two rushing attempts for 3 yards. He had a long gain of 5, but, I mean, if they block for him, Alvin Kamara can run at a very high level. I thought Jordan Mims at time. One play, Steve, I was waiting to go. Now, I said that was a nice cut, what we've talked about
right, in training camp.
It was a 10-yard gain, but he had 10 rushes for 38 yards as he led the team with 10 carries. A.T. Perry, you only can catch how many times they throw to you. 4 targets, 4 catches, like Hoker, the tight end we've been bragging on out of Colorado State, the rookie. 3 targets, 3 catches. He had a long gain of 15 yards. So that's kind of what we expected overall. Now, let me get to the special teams and defense. So looking at our punters.
That was a bright spot, right?
A very bright spot. I mean, just looking at the average, Lou Headley punted 4 times, Hayball 3 times. Hayball had that 161-yarder. I was like, whoa, look at that punt. And then he averaged 53-yard average per punt. Lou Headley, 46.8. Now, Charlie, and these stats that you're giving me here, when I look at that, Steve, is that the net? Because don't look at the gross average. You always got to look at the net. You know, you got to take into consideration the return. So 46.8 are above. Listen, if you probably 42 or 43 net, you're probably leading the league. Or you're a Pro Bowl type punter.
Gotcha, yeah.
You know, that's what you want. So just look at that's probably the gross 46.8 and 53 average. Cedric Wilson, punt returner. I think he provides depth.
Real quick, Headley, too, had 3 inside the 20-yard line.
3 inside the 20-yard. So directional punting, you know, right. he does it that rugby style or traditional spiral of the side of his foot.
It was working today for sure.
He could do both. So, yeah, I think Headley would be the guy. I think we might have the same kicking game. But look, as far as providing depth, Cedric Wilson, 2 punt returns, 12-yard average. You know, anytime you're over double digit, I had that long gain of 14. He fair caught one of them. But that's an acceptable, very acceptable average, 12 when you combine that. Now, defensively, a lot of different players contributed. Monty Rice, you might say, who in the hell is Monty Rice? And, you know, they come and go, Steve. I don't know. He led the team in tackles with 7 total tackles, and it was 7 individual tackles. It wasn't no assists. Like, for instance, Willie Gay, who we love, we got over from the Chiefs, he had 5 combined tackles, but 2 were assisted. So, but Monty Rice had 7 unassisted tackles. Willie Gay, again, he had a tackle for a loss. Hudson, along with Willie Gay, who we got in free agency, Gay from the Chiefs and Hudson from the Commanders from Washington, he ended up a nice day. He had a 0.5 sack. He had a quarterback hurry, but he also had 2 tackles on special teams. Remember, we're talking about providing, that backup depth as far as the linebacker, but you're going to be a starter when it comes to special teams. Looking at now, who led us in special teams? A young guy who now who's the one that took double D's place? I can't think of his name from Appalachian State. I'm thinking. No, but Anthony Argy's from Vanderbilt. Okay, it's going to come to me. But Anthony Argy led the team in special teams tackles with 3. And, you know, that if he's doing that and you can trust him now and then to put him in, a linebacker, that's all what you expect in that regard when you look at Argy. Now, Brian Brzee talked how he wasn't a discipline at one play.
DeMarco Jackson, by the way.
DeMarco Jackson. I'm not saying I know where he went to school and everything.
I was going to say with Monty Rice, too, he was the 3rd-round pick out of Georgia in 2021 by Tennessee. So he was there before.
So, yeah, it's not his first rodeo.
Right.
He knows what it takes to make a team. That's what we're thinking of, Steve. Thank you. But then, look, Brian Brzee ended up with a sack. Looks like I think you have even more of an impact this year. I truly think he had a quarterback hurry. Carl Grannis had 0.5 sack. He had also a quarterback hurry. You know what they were picking on, Clayton Toon? They were picking on Rico Payton. You know, but he led the team in three passes defending. He had a couple of tackles. Now, that one ball, he got beat, but he kept hanging in there and stripped it out when Clayton Toon had that long completion and the receiver dropped it. Nathan Shepard, half a sack. He had two quarterback hurries. You know who's all preseason? I'm going to leave you with this. All preseason, and when you think of an Ivy League right now, who do you think of initially? Because he's a playmaker.
I was going to say Fitzmagic?
Saints. With the Saints, the wide receiver who didn't play because he's hurt.
Oh, Tipton. Mason Tipton.
Mason Tipton from Yale. But the real Ivy Leaguer in the Saints uniform is Nick Lalos from Dartmouth.
Preseason stud.
Yes. I want to say in preseason, it seems like he has like five or six sacks, whatever.
Yeah, I remember last year you were praising him. It was like the game of a lifetime.
He had like three sacks in a game. Well, again, look what he does today. A sack, a quarterback hurry, and a tackle for a loss. Nate Lalos is just a gamer. He's beyond all airline, all matter, how you would describe it. No, he's all preseason, all exhibition.
There you go.
Nate Lalos from Dartmouth.